My brothers ask that we read from Psalm 51, and we'll begin reading with verse 5. Sermon title, as he has printed on the card, is Repent of Our Sins. Have you ever heard somebody say that they were sorry that you misunderstood? Well, how can they repent for somebody else's sins? Lord, I'm sorry, I is where it needs to be. And asking God to create a clean heart in us, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord Jesus, I love you. Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's still true. And when I think of Psalm 51, I also think of Psalm 103 that goes with that. Psalm 103, a psalm of worship and praise to the Lord. And he says in verse 13 and 14, like as a father pitieth or has compassion for his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame and he remembereth that we're dust. The love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ, he created us and he already knows that we're dust. And like a father will protect his child and defend him, that's what it's like when we go back to the Father, repenting of our sins. He now protects us and grants us mercy. And we have this passage from Psalm 51. Our brothers ask that we start reading with verse 5 and that we read through to verse 12. The psalmist writes here, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. If he would have stopped there, we couldn't finish singing that last chorus that we sung. There's a lot of Christians today that they blame their life on what else happened to them. They blame it on their upbringing. Well, it was my dad's fault. It was my mother's fault. It was how I was raised. One of the catch things that has been going on in Christendom over the last number of years, it started to die out now, is this thing of generational sins. And I understand that. There's an element of that may be true. But the thing we need to be careful is, David didn't call that out, did he? Well, it was my dad's fault. I was born of an affair with my dad. And you know who my great-granddad was, don't you? Yeah, he was the son of a harlot, Rahab. And you knew who his grandpa was, great-grandpa was too, don't you? Yeah, that affair with Judah and Tamar. See, there's no end to this generational deal. And we can only repent of our sins. And so he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And here's where the repentance is at. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That will bring about repentance. When we repent of our sins, and when we do, that's where Psalm 103 comes in. God knows. God knows. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he knows that we're made out of dust. And sometimes we're going to miss it. So let's repent of those sins and own it for what that it is, a breach with God and what his ways are. Those of you who can, let's kneel for prayer.
As we shared a little bit last evening, we didn't have much choice. We had no choice that we were born into sin. And that's where Satan would like to keep us. But praise God, Jesus offered a way that we can be cleansed of our sins and we can have victory in Jesus. I would like to share this real quick. Larry mentioned Brother Bob Yo, and you know, to some of the younger or those that don't know him well, he might just be another man, you know, on his deathbed waiting for glory. But to me, I'd like to share a tribute about Brother Bob. He holds a special place in my heart. Brother Bob and Brother Merle Bevenhauer were actually the two ministers that did my ministry ordination. I don't know when, just sometime back the way. But Brother Bob is a hero of my faith. And yeah, he was a good soldier of the cross. So yeah, continue to pray for him and lift him up. So the first point I'd like to make this morning in regards to repenting of our sins, number one, we are sinners saved by grace. And our brother has already shared, we're born into sin, we're all sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, "This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So just some scriptures to bear out. You meet a lot of people, they don't know Jesus. They're living a good life. They can just do it on their own. But the Bible says here, we are deceiving ourselves if we say we don't sin or have no sin. So I trust that we all do our best to live a life free of sin. I trust that we do our best to live a life above mistakes. But we're human, and we are going to fail. We need to realize that. But because of that, God has made a way to forgive and to cleanse us from our sins. 1 John 2, verse 12. I'm sorry, 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours only, but also for the sins of the world." Jesus Christ, because of the work of Calvary, has made a way, has made a means for every individual that is born into sin to come free of that and have victory in Jesus. When we fail, we must confess our sin, and God will be faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. And our brother, we've seen that in Psalms 51. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, verse 16. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." So as we fall, we're going to fail, but we must confess that sin. And God will be faithful to restore us. It's so important when we fall not to stay down. Don't beat ourselves up because we fell. Satan will take care of that part of it. But we need to get back up and we need to strive to do better. The definition of repent is feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one wrongdoing or sin. How sorry are we when we mess up? Is it something we just quickly do and move on? Or do we think about what we did and how serious that offended God? And do we strive our best in the Sunday school lesson this morning, it says, left me now, but we are to do all to stand. Are we giving it our every effort to live a life free of sin? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 11, it says, "For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly matter, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. For behold, this self same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have proved yourselves to be clear of this matter." This is the importance of repentance, that we would regain our zeal, that we would do all we can. True repentance yields a commitment to not fail where or how we did before. And that's brought out in verse 11. You know, when some people get caught by the law, it's really a nasty deal, but they talk about this plea agreement. You know, the guy that done wrong, he knows he done wrong, but he doesn't want to admit it, so they come to him with a plea agreement. But that's not what this is talking about here. Godly sorrow leads to weeping. Godly sorrow leads to a determination not to do that again. You know, it's comical, but you know, the child will do something maybe bad here in the service, and the mom and dad will take him out to discipline. And the whole way back the hallway to the spanking, I'm sorry. No, he's not sorry. He just don't want a whipping, right? How about us as adults? Jesus told the woman that was brought to him by the Pharisees, "Go and sin no more." That's the purpose for repentance. That's the power of repentance. We cannot progress spiritually if we're living in sin or we're living with hidden sin in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And he's sitting there, brothers and sisters, interceding for every soul who is willing to confess, to repent, and to persevere in their walk with him. The key to obtaining victory over our failures is by reading and studying God's word. Because as we read that, it brings to light the wrong that is in us. You know, when your tractor don't start or your tractor breaks down, you go to the manual, don't you? In the back of any appliance you buy, there's a place there. It's called troubleshooting, and it gives you some suggestions maybe why it's not working. As we repent, let's go to God's word, and gain the strength that we need. And maybe we can find the reason. Maybe there's something I'm doing in my life. Maybe it's something I'm not doing that is causing me to fail. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And this is one example I brought in here for this morning. The love of money is the root of all evil. And truly it is. How many relationships, how many families have been torn apart because of the love of money? Inheritance is, for one instance, you know, you got more than me, and it's just the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's many others we could look at, but a couple of verses here just on repentance. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 17. Not sure what happened there. I got a wrong. I'm sorry. That's why it don't make sense. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I know we're just digging in here for this one verse, but it's Jesus' words here, admonishing us for repentance. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. There's one more here, Luke chapter 15. Let's just read verse 7. It's a parable here of Jesus rejoicing over the lost. And verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And I think this bears a little light on this, on the parable of the prodigal son. Why the dad was so overjoyed that prodigal son finally came to himself, finally recognized his sin and came back to his father. And that, you know, here it shares the 99, it does not lessen the importance of them. But I believe Jesus is stressing here the joy and the importance of repentance and the joy that brings to not only God and Jesus, but the rest of the immediate family, the church family, just the joy that it brings when a person gets right with the Lord. It brings joy to heaven when we repent and restore relationships that have been separated by sin. So not only is it a joyful situation, but it fixes the breach that was caused by sin. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 13. It says, he that covereth sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We cannot hide. We cannot live in sin and have victory. Stories told of a little boy. His mother asked him to sweep the floor. And he did. He swept it all up nice. And he come to the rug, and I'm not sure for what reason, if he was just too lazy to get the dusting pan, but he swept it under the rug. And he went back and to his mother, and she says, did you get everything done? Did you sweep the floor? He says, yeah, I swept it all under the rug. This morning, we cannot sweep our sins under the rug. Sinning without repentance. It's like being stuck in the mud. It is. You have to repent of that thing. You have to come clean. Confess and repent your sins. Jesus is waiting this morning with open arms to forgive you, to receive you. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 7. Actually, I'm sorry, we were just there last night. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Again, just scripture pleading with us, admonishing us to confess. And as we repent and bring those things to the Lord, again, he's waiting with open arms to forgive us. Because without repentance, you are not going to be delivered from that thing that is plaguing you. It has to be brought to Jesus. It has to be brought to the cross. So then, with repentance for and forgiveness, as we bring our sins to Christ, as we are forgiven, the second letter with this morning's letter on R is resist the devil. As we clean our lives up, we need to resist the devil and do all we can to avoid falling into the situation again. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So as we're forgiven, as we repent, James admonishes, it admonishes us to resist the devil. Stay away from that thing that caused you to fall in the first place. Psalms chapter 34, verse 14. It says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Again, just scriptures admonishing us the means to live a pure life for Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 6 and 8 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Again, another scripture to just help us to live for Jesus. Proverbs 14. Verse 16 It says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Chapter 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Again, it's just beautiful scriptures admonishing us to stay away from Satan. Seek the Lord. Live for him. And he will help us to live a life for him. This morning, as we give an invitation hymn, I invite you to come to Jesus if you don't know him. We're going to open it up again this morning. If there's something you're struggling with in your life, bring it to the foot of the cross this morning. Repent of that and allow Jesus to forgive you, to cleanse you and help you to do better. So consider that as we sing a hymn. What shall we sing? 308. 308. Hymn 308.